Good to see everyone this morning. Well, not everyone, but everyone's here. It's good to see everyone. I want to present some thoughts to you this morning on the subject of, can one be saved outside the church? If you're talking to people about salvation and the need to be saved, the subject of the church is going to come up, and as well it should. And you'll find that there are many people who are of an opinion that you can be saved without being a member of the church. It's an interesting opinion. They might feel that. They might be very sincere about their feelings about that. But is that what the Scriptures say? Is that what the Word of God teaches us, that you can be saved but not be a member of the Lord's church? Well, let's take a look at that this morning. Can one be saved without the blood of Christ? Not very many people would say, well, yeah, you can be saved without the blood of Christ. No, most people would say, no, that it was necessary for the blood of Christ to be shed for us to be saved. Well, let's consider that for a moment then in light of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in Him, meaning in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And so it's not that we're just of the opinion that the blood of Christ is necessary for our salvation. The Scriptures teach us that it is by Him, in fact, through His blood, that we have redemption, that is, the forgiveness of sins. His blood is found in His body, the church. Now, we're shifting bodies, aren't we? We're shifting from the physical body of Christ and the physical blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf to the spiritual body of Christ, wherein His blood is seen and applied, and wherein His blood continues to course through the veins, if you will, of His body, the church. Ephesians 1 and verses 22 through 23, same chapter. Coming to the end of the chapter, he says, He, meaning God, has put all things under His, meaning Christ's feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. The church is the body of Christ. It is the spiritual body of Christ. Notice also Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Just as we noticed there in Ephesians chapter 1, that it's in the blood of Christ that we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But now notice also that He has conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That kingdom is His church. Acts 2 and verse 28, Paul told the elders at the church at Ephesus, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. The church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the truth. In Him, the light of truth is seen. And that's what's under consideration here in 1 John. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so we see that all those who are cleansed by the blood of Christ are to have fellowship, certainly with Christ and with one another, as we see here. Verse 6, he says, we have fellowship with him. And then as we come down to verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. If we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. So we've seen that redemption and forgiveness of sins is in his blood. Ephesians 1, verse 7, Colossians 1, verse 14. We have seen that the church was purchased with his blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. And we have seen that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin when we walk in the light with him and with one another. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. So, since one cannot be saved without the blood of Jesus, one cannot be saved outside the church. His blood is in his body, the church. And we must be in his body to be found having access to the advantage of his shed blood. His blood is found in the body, which is the church. Can one be saved without being joined to Christ? If you can be saved without being a member of the church, can you be saved without being joined to Christ? I don't know if anyone who takes this position that, well, I can be saved without being a member of the church, if they've ever thought of the fact, well, does that mean that I don't have to be joined to Christ? I don't know what they would say to that. Some might say, well, I feel that I am joined to Christ. Well, what does the Bible have to say about this? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, we notice God gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That Christ is the head of the church, but the fullness of Christ is seen in the church, in the body of the church, in the body taking its directions from the head being Christ. The church is the fullness of him. Colossians 1 and verse 18 says, he is the head, Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1 and verse 24, now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up all in my flesh what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Clearly, these terms church and body are used interchangeably. They are one in the same. But now notice Ephesians 4 and verses 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So when we're talking about the church, we're not just talking about the body of the church. We're talking about every member of the body of the church. Just like when your body has many members, it's made up of many members, and every member is necessary for the perfect functioning of the design of that body. So also is that true of the Lord's church, the Lord's body. Every joint is knit to, we are to be joined and knit together, and everyone is to supply its needed function. Since one cannot be saved without being joined to Christ, one cannot be saved outside the church. Well, I'm saved, but I'm not a member of the church. Well, then you're not saved. The saved are members of the church, the body of Christ. Now notice, Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 18 through 22, he says, through him, we both, meaning both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Through Christ, we have access by the Spirit to the Father. The Spirit has revealed the will of God through the Word of God. He did that when Jesus, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. He continues to do that through the written Word of God, as the apostles were guided into all truth and recorded that so that we might continue in the doctrine of Christ. So through him, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are now fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This letter was written to the church at Ephesus. It was comprised of many members of that church. And Paul here is reminding them that they are now each member a fellow citizen and a member of the household of God. They are joined together, being built together for a dwelling place of God. Not a physical structure, but their hearts joined together, God dwelling in them as his word dwells in them, and they do his will. So, since one cannot be saved outside that which Christ built, one cannot be saved outside the church. I will build my church. And Ephesians chapter, chapters 1 and 2 are really, and 3 and 4 are all about the church. This is what Christ came to build. Now, I want you to notice with me a very elementary point. As we continue to look here at Matthew 16, verse 18, he says, I will build my church. What is that? What is the church? I think one of the reasons that people don't want to be joined to the church is because of their concept of what a church is, or what the church is. They see it, the church, through the eyes of their experience rather than through the eyes of revelation, as God has revealed his church to be. They've seen what they don't like in the church that they have experienced. And because of that, they fail to examine what the church is as Christ gives it to us in his word. And certainly we see a great difference between churches that are in existence and the church that God built through Christ. I will build my church. What is the church? Well, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And that just simply means the called out. It's a very common word in New Testament times in the Greek language, the common Greek of that day. It would refer to any assembly of people, called out of the hustle and bustle of their day and into a particular meeting, if you will, about a particular subject. We find it used that way in various places throughout the scriptures, in just a civil assembly and so forth. But it simply means the called out. Jesus says, I will build the called out, my called out. What is that? The church is those who have responded to the invitation of Jesus to be called out of their practice of sin and be saved. Be called out of their sinful practice and into a relationship with God through Christ in the practice of righteousness that is revealed in the gospel of Christ. I will build my church. I will call people out of their sin and into a relationship with me in the practice of righteousness. Therefore, the church is the saved. One cannot be identified with the saved unless they are in his church, the body of the saved. Now, these are things that we must understand. If we are going to, in the words of Romans, obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which we are delivered, then we must understand that when we are baptized for the remission of our sins, that we are dead to our sins and alive to righteousness, to walk in newness of life with him, and that we are separating ourselves from the desires of the carnal mind and flesh and joining ourselves to the desires of the spiritual mind and body of Christ. To practice righteousness. To, as we've been studying in 2 Peter chapter 1 especially, to participate in the divine nature as we separate from the carnal nature. We need to understand that. And we can understand that, and a person might say, well, I feel that I have done that individually, that I've taken that step. But we need to also keep in mind these other passages that talks about that we are to, each member is to supply its needed function within the body. That we're to be joined to one another as we are joined to Christ. That we build up one another and encourage one another. Scripturally, Christ's church and the saved are the same thing. And unless we understand that, and we understand that we are now in unity with Christ and in unity with others who practice the same doctrine of Christ, then we are missing the message of the scriptures and of the doctrine of Christ especially. We're missing on such a great important aspect of being a Christian, of encouraging one another and supporting one another, standing together. So since one cannot be saved outside that which Christ built, one cannot be saved outside the church. Can one be saved outside the church? No. The church is the saved. We need to understand that. We need to try to impress that upon those who are misinformed or don't have a full understanding of what it means to be saved. We're not saved just for ourselves. We're saved primarily to the glory of God and to the assistance of one another in reaching this home of heaven. The blood of Christ was shed at Calvary. It was shed so that we don't have to pay the price for our sins. The price for our sins is death. But Jesus died so that we don't have to be separated from God. Our sin separates us from God. But we don't, if we continue in our sin, we'll continue to pay that price. But Jesus died so that we can be free from our debt of separation from God and be joined to Him. If you're here today and you realize that you are separated from God because of your sin, then we'd encourage you to be forgiven of your sin, to obey Christ, to believe that He is the Son of God, to repent, to turn from your sin, to practice His righteousness in your life, that you will confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins, baptized into Christ, baptized into the body of Christ, baptized for the remission of your sins. And then continue to abide in His Word from this day forward. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you're out of favor with Him and you need to make correction, let us pray with you and for you. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?
Fearing not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. But God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to God.